Hi, welcome to Understanding God's Word for Such a Time as This. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and I am truly happy and delighted to be with you on this Sunday morning. I felt led to come this morning because I know that in this life and what we're dealing with, the Word of God is the answer to every problem and every life situation. So this morning, I want to take the time for us to see that God is in control of our life if we only surrender and submit to Him. The topic for today is He who is born of God overcomes the world. And I just want to take various examples from the Bible to show that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, we must understand that as believers. And as believers, God has given us and equipped us with the light of the gospel, the truth of God's word, which should be exhibited in every believer's life as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to start tonight, we're going to start with the scripture in 1 John 5. Because I want us to see a couple of things that if you are a Christian, and if you are experiencing growth, then you and I should be able to overcome things that we encounter in this life and this world system. See, we have to understand that the whole purpose and what we've been, deceptively start believing is the fact that after becoming Christians, we think that everything's good to go in our hearts and life. And now that we're saved, even though there's been a spiritual change in our heart and God has called us to become new creatures or creation in Christ, there is a process that takes place. And the Holy Spirit does not, when He places us in the body of Christ, it's all based upon where your faith is. If I've exhibited faith in the cross and cried out to God by faith that I need a savior and recognize myself as a sinner, the Holy Spirit places me in the body of Christ. Okay. Now, upon that same faith in the cross of Christ, He has a second work to take place, which is to deliver me from my old nature, from my old self, from my old way of thinking and my old way of doing things. This is the biggest problem that the Holy Spirit has in the life of the believer. So, depending upon who's ruling your heart, see, you and I can have the world system still controlling us, or we can yield ourselves as servants to righteousness or according to God's way, which is the cross of Christ. The whole purpose of the believer now that he or she comes to God is to place his or her faith in the cross of Christ daily. We have to learn how to decrease. We have to learn by the Spirit how to submit to God's provisions and God's way daily. Meaning, I give up my way and surrender my way to embrace the will and the way of the Father. Okay? So we have to come to realize that God has called us. He's not given us a spirit of fear. Meaning that when I come to Him, I don't have to fear repercussions of going to hell or being punished. It's not a slavish fear. We're not enslaved when we're in Christ. We're set free. But under the rulership of Satan, which is the system which we've come out of, there was a fear of death. There was a fear of torment. There was a fear of dying eternally lost. You see, God has not given us that fear, but He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Okay, so let's go to 1 John 5 and verse 4. In the scriptures we have, and it reads here, before we go to verse 4, let's go to verse 1. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Okay, and everyone who loves Him, let me read it again. I'm reading the King James translation. For whatever is born of God overcomes. I'm sorry. Verse 1. We'll get it right. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves Him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. So in other words, if we are born or we're saved, we should be progressing towards a love in Christ that changes our nature to love everyone that's born of Christ or the saints or the children of God, okay, or fellow believers. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, this word believe is not a mere intellectual assent. So this is what stumps a lot of people. Believe is actually with an intent to follow fully, okay? Believing God means that I intend to follow him fully. I intend to be changed by his instructions, his commands, and his direction. This is what believe is, okay? It means that you and I desire his way above our ways. We desire to be led by his spirit. We desire to be controlled by the spirit of God and not our way. Now, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit, he's in us to speak to our human spirit in order to give instructions and put the desires of God in our heart and lives. Okay. So we have here, he says, believe is more than an intellectual assent to the fact of the incarnation, but a heart acceptance of all that is implied in its purposes. So the substitutionary death of the incarnate one for sinners. And everyone who loves him, who begot, loves him also who is begotten. So this simply means that those who love God as their father also love God's children. Okay, so you have to understand that if I'm not growing in this love that Christ extended to me, which is the agape love, unconditional love, then I will not have love for those whom God has called and created and into the body of Christ. Okay. And so verse 2, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God. How do we know that we love the children of God? It says, we know we love God if we love those who bear his image. Okay. This is very important because you and I have to understand the love of God to be able to overcome fear, doubt, and whatever the enemy presents to us. And so it says here that when we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, this is what it means to believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. You love him, you come to know him, and you come to love the children of God, those who bear his image, and you keep his commandments. You see this? You gotta learn the difference. You gotta learn how that if we are children, and I'm not talking about a love that loving others based upon what others do for you, loving others based upon them embracing you in your way. I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about the kind of love that's unconditional. And this love means you love the fellow brethren, those who call themselves Christians. Okay. What we find oftentimes is that we love our circle. We love our circle of family members, our circle of friends. But anybody that comes that's a child of God, truly bearing his image, truly adhering to his word and what it really means. Those that stand on the truth of the gospel and don't sway with the ways of the world, we should be embracing. Okay. I'm finding too many Christians. We love our soulish life. We love those who love us and have our opinions and our views. And we cast aside those whom God has raised up and embraced. Okay. And so this is why we must learn how to love, be perfected in the love of God, be transformed by the love of God. You see, you cannot say you love God and yet still hate or have prefer less those who God called and bear his image. And I'm not talking about just the creation. I'm talking about those that are called Christians. Okay. So Here, we have to, most of us will give ear and embrace those of the world before we give ear and embrace those whom God has called and he's delivered, justified, sanctified, and will one day glorify. Okay. So we have to understand, let's go back to the scriptures here. It has here in 1 John, we're in chapter 5. It says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So I should be loving God. And the way I know that I love God is when I love the children of God. And the children of God are those blood-bought saints. And so the way I know that I love the children of God is when I love God and keep his commandments. My love for God is number one. And out of that love will come a love for his children, the saints of God. And then I will love my enemies. You see this? But I have to love God and keep his commandments. So I'm finding too many Christians saying they love God, but yet we don't keep his commandments. We will go to church week after week. We will sit under Bible study week after week. And yet when it comes time to apply his commandment, his word to our daily living, we will stop in our tracks and no longer let the Spirit of God have control over that area or that part of our lives. So it says, verse 3, for this, okay, in verse 3 it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So you and I can't say we truly love God if we're not keeping his commandments. And it says his commandments are not grievous. See? This will be easy to do if we look exclusively to the cross. God never placed this demand of keeping his commandments on our human strength, our human efforts, and our abilities. This is a supernatural power that comes to us as we yield to God's way, which is the cross of Christ. Now notice here, it says, for this is the love of God. Many people are trying to say they love God. This is the age old test, but we're not keeping his word. For example, we may say we love God, but yet we stand for and support, let's say, the death of innocent children. I don't care how much a country or a law legalizes the death and killing of innocent children through abortion. As a Christian, God said, choose life. He set before us life. He said, before you were born, I knew you. When you were in your mother's womb. So God sanctions life. So as a Christian, if I love God, the way I prove I love him is by keeping his commandment. And his commandment is not grievous. So if God's word, and it goes beyond the Ten Commandments, if God says, do not kill, why am I supporting an industry that kill innocent babies annually? I think it's over 300,000 children that are murdered worldwide annually. You understand this? I'm just using that as an example. Another example is how we vote. If we as Christians, we're supposed to be the light of the world. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear this because it comes against the very things that they've done for years. But this is very critical because how can we pray, Lord, heal our land when we are, in essence, endorsing and in agreement with the laws that and politicians that are crooked and are making laws that are contrary to the will and the way of God. God created man and woman, not man and man, nor did he create woman and woman to be together. He said to the man and to the woman in the garden, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. So keeping his commandments mean that whatever he sanctioned, which was marriage between a man and a woman, is what we are to sanction here on earth. When I support politicians and people that endorse these platforms, which say they're for the death of innocent children and they're for gay marriage or the LGBT community, understand this. This is not political. This is a moral stance that you and I as a Christian are to stand on and believe. These are moral issues, and the greatest issues of all these other laws and rules that man or parties or political figures are endorsing or creating is that which comes against life. And it comes against God's way of continuing life, which is marriage between a man and a woman. Y'all understand this? If anything, out of everything that we hear any politicians say or do, the one thing that we should stand and support, or the two things, is for life and for the promotion of life, the continuance of life. And that's through supporting for all people to live, and for God, for marriage to continue to be between a man and a woman, so that life can continue to exist through birth, natural birth. Understand this? So I say this because we can't say we love God, but yet stand and support that's contrary to God. So the reason why we're seeing so much destruction from nation to nation, because man's heart is evil. The Bible says it's in Genesis 6. After the fall, man's heart was constantly on evil. It was so bad that God had to allow a flood to destroy the world. See this? But he has a select group of people who are who have given their lives to him so that he can regenerate, rebirth them, cause them to be born by the Spirit to help us to overcome that which is in this world system. Now, you and I have to understand that Satan, because of the fall, because Adam and Eve obeyed Satan, they gave up their right to rule and have dominion over the world system. They gave it to Satan. They allowed Satan to trick them into obeying him instead of obeying God. And because of this, mankind fell. Mankind fell from his position. And so now Satan gains that foothold or that strength or that rule over mankind. So this world system is ran by Satan. Okay. So before we continue in 1 John 5 verse 3 and 4, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. I want you to see a couple of things in 2 Corinthians 4. It has here, we're talking about Satan being the god of this world system. Now, understand this. Understand. It says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 4, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. And then this refers to the great covenant of grace made possible by the cross. As we have received mercy, we faint not. This is the Apostle Paul talking about the ministry given him by the grace of God. But notice what Paul has to allow to happen in his personal life as he embraces this ministry. You and I have to be the first ones to allow this work of the cross to take place in our own lives as we carry out the ministry of God. As I try, or as I shine as light in darkness, I have to be willing to let the word of God work in me. You understand this? So as I'm yielded to the work of God and or the cross, then my ministry becomes more effective because the world sees the gospel revealed through me. So I become a living epistle or a letter or a Bible. I become a walking Bible. If I am not doing these things that Paul mentioned here in verse 2 on down, then the gospel that God has given me, the ministry of the cross, it will be hidden. And so notice what he says. But so he says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't give in. We continue to preach the cross of Christ. We will not fail. But this is what we do. Have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. See that? The reason why our light does not shine is because many of us have not renounced some things in our heart and lives. We have not renounced lying. We've not renounced having motives contrary to the way of God. We've not renounced greed. We've not renounced lust and envious desires and covetousness. But notice what Paul says here. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. So all gospel outside of the cross is dishonest. It really is. Anything outside of the cross is dishonest. Notice what else Paul renounces, not walking in craftiness. And this simply means to do holy deeds in an unholy way, or to do unholy deeds in a supposedly holy way. Meaning you have a lot of people that want to do good things, but they have bad motives. Okay. They have not submitted to the way of the cross. They have not allowed the Holy Spirit to decrease their purposes and embrace the purpose and will of God. So he says, what else has he renounced? He's also renounced. Notice here, he's renounced. He says, not walking in craftiness. And we just said that, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There are a lot of people handling God's word deceitfully. They have a motive of gaining members so that they can build something bigger and better to promote and push their brand of ministry outside of the way of the cross. So what do? We make merchandise of people, get their money just so that we can accomplish our will, which is not really God's will. I'm not saying everybody does this, but he's saying here, when we have to renounce these hidden things of dishonesty, which is not, or handling the word of God deceitfully. Now notice what we are to do, but by manifestation of the truth, and we're in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2, but by manifestation of the truth, preaching the cross, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If these Corinthians will only listen to their conscience, they will know Paul's message is true. And it's the same thing with you and I. You and I will know people, whether they're true or not, walking in the truth of God's word or not, by looking at how they've renounced these hidden things. They're not walking in craftiness, and they're not handling the word of God deceitfully. But because they're submitted to truth, the cross of Christ, you will see that people will know, you will know whether their gospel is according to God's way or their own motives. Okay. So verse 3, notice this. If I do not allow those things to be removed in my heart and life, the hidden things of dishonesty, walking in craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully, this is what happens. The gospel of Christ is hidden. Remember, you and I are to be living epistles. So if the gospel, verse 3, says, but if our gospel be hid, notice what it means, what it says here, was hidden, Christ and him crucified. If I'm not allowing this process to work in my life, what is the cross of Christ? It means that when I come evidencing faith in the cross, the Holy Spirit, first thing he wants to do is put to death. This is what activates the Spirit to work in my life when he sees faith in the right object, which is the cross. So now he empowers me. He gives, his power is enacted in me, which allows me to, or allows the Spirit of God to put to death the deeds of the flesh, meaning everything that's contrary to the way of God. Some of the things that Paul mentioned in verse 2. So if I'm not submitted to the way of the cross, then the gospel is hidden. And who is it hidden from? It is hid to those, to them who are lost. Now, they're lost because they will not accept the message of the cross. So my life is a living epistle to those folks in this world system, or in the world without Christ. My life, because I'm submitted to the cross, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to put to death some things in my heart and life that's not right. So that if I'm in the likeness of his death, I can be in the likeness of his resurrection, meaning I have newness of life. I will now walk the way that the Spirit of God wants me to walk. Now, the only way this can come about is if I rest in what Christ has done. I have to cease from my own efforts, my own labor, and I have to learn to rest in Christ. Resting in Christ simply means I choose to stop trying to be religious. When we stop being religious, the Holy Spirit can work. Being religious simply means you're trying to get God to move based on your own efforts, your own works, your own ability. See that? So But if I cease from my own labor and I yield to the way of the cross, meaning I said, not my will, Lord, thy will be done. Christ has, it's a finished work, and let this work be complete in me. As I yield, God, the Holy Spirit will put to death or allow me to renounce all these hidden things of dishonesty in my heart and life. There are many Christians who have not submitted to this process. So yet, although they're saved, you don't see those hidden things of dishonesty being renounced. They just assume because they've been justified that everything's good to go and they can take off and live for God according to their own way. And this is a misunderstanding in the body of Christ. And what has to happen is that believer has to understand that just because you were justified by faith, now you and I have to be sanctified, delivered, made set apart to be changed, to be made whole, to be sanctified body, soul, and spirit, meaning there's some stuff in us that needs to be transformed, that needs to be removed. See that? So if the gospel, or if our gospel be hidden, each of us has a gospel in us that has to be developed, which is the cross of Christ. Depending upon your yieldedness to this process will determine how much of this light is revealed in the world. He said, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill. You don't take and cover it with a shade. You don't cover the lamp, but you set it out so that it can be revealed, so that people that are in darkness can be drawn to Christ, the light of Christ. So it says, if our gospel be hid in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, it is hid to them who are lost. Why are they lost? Now, understand this, because there's some things that you need to see with these words that we're using right now. Now, I want to go to the word hid here. Give me 1 second and pull it up. So in verse 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, the word hid in the Greek, I like to give the original meanings so you can understand. It means to veil, or to hinder the knowledge of a thing. See that? So if our gospel be veiled, if it be hidden, the knowledge of a thing, we're supposed to give the world the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him crucified. But if this is hidden or veiled, it's veiled to them who are without Christ. Okay? Now, verse 4, why? Now, notice, if these people rejected the cross, it says, in whom, the reason why they reject it is because of this. Remember, Satan is the god of this world system. In whom the god of this world, it's talking about the world system. It's not talking about the world, the creation, but it's the system of the world. Everything about this world system is, in 1 John, it tells us, it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. This is the world. This is the world system. This is what Satan controls. He blinds the mind. Now understand how he blinds the mind. Everything about the world system, truth oftentimes rising on the back, or error rising on the back of truth. So it may have some truth to it. And because you see the little truth, you don't see the big motive in the error, because your mind is blinded to, this god of the world system. Now notice what he says. In whom the god of this world system or world has blinded. The word has blinded or hath blinded in the Greek means to blunt the mental discernment or to darken the mind. Everyone that's not a Christian falls under this category. Okay? They don't have the mental discernment to see spiritual things. They don't have their mind has been darkened to the reality of Satan and his control in this system. What am I saying? You have to understand this. Satan will use the very things that we see here and hear daily. He uses the TV. He uses the news. He uses the radio. He uses social media. You and I have to have a mental discernment to know what is truth. Today, there's so much misinformation, and this is what the enemy does. Whatever is true, he comes and he counters it with his own narrative or his own spin. So the person whose mind has been blunted, or they don't have the mental discernment, or their mind has been darkened, they won't be able to decipher or see what is true and what isn't. Now, this is very important, because in this age of dealing with the coronavirus, vaccines, all this different, you're getting all different perspectives. Some say one thing, another says another, but there is a truth there. But if your mind is blunted, and it says to blunt the mental discernment, or if your mind has been darkened, then you will not be able to determine what is true and what's not. So this God of the world system is Satan. Satan was given this title. He took it legally from Adam and Eve in the garden when he tricked them. See, he darkened their mind. They went from God consciousness to self-consciousness. You see this? So it's very important. Notice here, it says that, he has blinded the minds of them which believe not, which is a willful blindness. Okay. So Satan, the God of this world, Satan, he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the message of the cross, who is the image of God, who alone is the image of God, should shine unto them. So if men reject the cross, they have in effect rejected Christ. Notice this. So because their minds are darkened, or there's no mental discernment, it prevents the light of the glorious gospel of Christ from penetrating their hearts. This Satan does. He purposely blinds. He purposely deceives. This is why you must be careful what you hear, how you see things. Christ said in the Bible, he says, take heed how you hear. And not only did he say, take heed how you hear, but take heed what you hear. Most of the time we turn on the TV and the first thing come on, we believe it. We hear it. We see it. We believe it. And because we think they are of replicable sources and resources, we take their word because it says expert. And we don't have the mental discernment. And because our minds are darkened, we will just believe whatever and we'll make irrational decisions. You see this? You should know all the facts and all the information before you make any decision. But what the God of this world system does, he gives you a half truth and he gives you a lie and he mixes it. And then you and I are not able to discern what is truth. But God has a remedy for that. And it's to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now in John 8, let me show you what this is, and we'll get back to 1 John 4 in a second. John 8, verse 30, and I like to go and give you the scripture references so you can go back and study this on your own. In John 8, verse 30, he's talking about some Jews, or he's talking to some Jews, Christ is, that that said they believe. Now remember, belief is not just a mental assent. Belief is you and I, it means you and I come into God with the intent of laying aside all of our biases, all of our pretenses, all of our perceptions and perspectives, all of our, come with to God with a willingness to lay it aside, to embrace the truth about it. That's all it means. So belief means that I come to you, God, not trying to force you to be what I want you to be based upon my own precepts and my own biases, but I'm coming to you because I want to know the truth and I want to be changed by truth. This is what salvation is about. Most people think it's about just saying that you're saved, sitting in a pew doing religious works, but never change. That's why you see people saying they're Christians, but they're meaner than ever. You see them saying they're Christians, but they have attitude and whatever. Y'all understand what I'm saying? There has to be a transformation of heart, of mind, and soul, and spirit. And so we see here in John chapter 8, verse 30, Christ is talking to some Jews who said they believe in Christ. These are religious folks, okay? So it says, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Their faith, as we shall see, I'm reading the notes in the JSM Bible. So it says, their faith, as we shall see, was misplaced and unacceptable. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now, this is, whenever we say we have faith, faith has to be tested, and great faith must be tested greatly. Why? For the purpose of causing faith to penetrate the heart, to go further down than just a shallow belief. Faith tests and trials have to occur to make the word of God become a part of us. This is necessary. So then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, now presents a part of the message, these are the notes, upon which their faith will falter. If you continue in my word, there is a condition. For those of us that say we believe Christ, there are conditions. You have to continue in the word. It's not an acceptance and I'm good to go. He didn't say continue in church and religious activity, although going to church is good and right. But many people have substituted going to church for continuing in the word. We replace going to church or continuing in the word with going to church and not continuing in Christ. Christ is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was God and the word was with God. John chapter 1. And then when you go to verse 14, he said, and the word became flesh. So the story of the Bible is about Christ, who was the word before he was Christ, the anointed who wrapped himself in a body of flesh. And we beheld his glory. So he says, if you continue in my word, what will happen? Then are you my disciples indeed. So the word indeed means in reality. See, this is the only way I can become a Christian or a disciple or a learner of the way of Christ. In reality, God doesn't deal with fakeness and falsehood. See, a lot of times I think we as people and as believer, we rather be fake and phony with people. And a lot of times we prefer that over being real. You see? So this is what happened. Christ deals in the reality. He doesn't want to deal. He knows the fall of man. He knows our nature. He knows our bent towards wrongdoing. He's taking that in consideration. And as a matter of fact, he's taken all of our sin upon himself at the cross. He paid the penalty so that you and I could approach a holy God. And then not only that, he says, I'm willing to change you. So that your response in this earth can be the same. You can respond the same way I responded to the temptations, to the circumstances, to life situations. You have an answer. He said, in this life, you and I will have tribulation. But what? Be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Why? Because he has overcome this world system. And we're going to get back to this world, how we overcome it. If I'm born of God, I will overcome this world. I don't care if it's corona. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's death. Guess what? You and I have been equipped with the power source to overcome. You and I have been equipped with the power source that's greater than the spirit that's in this world. So he says, what will happen if you and I continue, if we believe on him and continue in his word, John 8, verse 20, verse 31. Then are you my disciples indeed or in reality? And guess what will happen? See, God doesn't fail on his part. It's our failure to obey and adhere to what he commands that causes us to fail in this life. You understand that? God promises if we keep the conditions in verse 30 through 31, if we continue in his word, then this is what will happen. By way of faith in the cross, the Holy Spirit will work in us to put to death some things and then to put the will and the desire of God into us. 32, and you shall know what? The truth. This is, remember I said, we're living in a world where people don't know what's true, what's what's fake and what's false. Because the God of the world system, we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, has blinded the minds. He's blunted the mental discernment. He's darkened the minds so that they cannot determine what is true. Now notice here, if we do the above things we mentioned in verses 30 through 31, and you shall know the truth, and the truth, what's going to make you free? Shall make you free. So it's only the truth you come to know experientially. Christ is the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father but by and through him. So if I bypass Christ as truth by his way, by what he accomplished at the cross, I can say I believe, but it will not give me the power to continue in the word, which is Christ in the cross. And guess what? I won't be made free from my hangups, my hookups, my lust, my desires. Yes, even as Christians, we still have this ongoing residue of sin in our hearts and life that the Spirit of God and the Word of God is ready to put to death only upon me evidence and faith in the cross of Christ and be willing to continue in his word and to keep his commandments so that he can make me come to know the truth. This word know means to know through experience, to know him through experience, through my trials, my tribulations. And guess what the truth that I come to know will do? It will make me free. This is the more abundant life. Now look at their sad response. You got to see this because this is sad indeed. Look at their sad response. We're in John chapter 8, verse 33. This is the response that millions of professing believers give to him on a day-to-day basis. We prefer to hear and believe and adhere to what our biases are, our opinions, our upbringings. We let those things hinder us from being made free by the truth found in the Word of God. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." Now, when the Word of God comes and to reveal to you and I what is the deep intent and the thought, see, there are some deep crevices of things in our heart and life that we have no clue exist. But the Word of God will find it. The Bible says the Word of God is sharp, is powerful, is quicker than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, for the purpose of bringing to surface the thought and the intents of the heart. This is the purpose of the Word. So if I reject the Word or truth, and I do not agree with the truth, Christ just revealed to them the reality of what was taking place in their heart, of what they needed to do. Now that they said they believe God, he tells them that if you continue in the word, see this? The word was cutting in an area of their life that needed to be addressed by the Spirit of God. You and I must be willing to agree, walk in agreement. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? We're trying to walk hand in hand with the Spirit of God, and we won't walk in agreement with what the Word of God reveals about us. See this? This is why the world is in the state it is in. It's trying to make laws to validate or confirm their identity, that what they're the wrongdoing that they're doing. They're trying to mandate and make laws so that. They don't have to respond to the conviction of their hearts, of the Spirit of God. So notice in verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." Well, it's mighty funny because during this time, you have to see this. I'm going to read the notes. It proclaims an ironical statement, inasmuch as they had been in bondage to the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and were even now in bondage to the Romans. You see how the minds were darkened? They were not willing to see the bondage that they were in at that time. They were blinded by religious religious zeal. See this? They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Why do you say you shall be made free? Their minds are darkened. Now notice Christ's response. Why is it darkened? They rejected what he offered, the word, Christ and him crucified. He told them you have to continue in the word. Now notice here, verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And so it says in the notes, and whoever is the servant of sin is not free. So they weren't free. They were committing sin. God had a remedy or solution for it, but they were not willing to address it. So it says there's only one way for the believer to overcome sin, and that is in the cross of Christ. That is the cross of Christ ever being the object of our faith. Now, verse 35, he says, and the servant abides not in the house forever. So although I say I'm Christian and I'm saved and I may have given my heart and life to Christ, sin will rule and reign my heart. That's in Romans chapter 6. If I don't submit to the way of the process of the cross, I have to continue in the word so that the word can address the error in my heart, the ways that I have chosen to go, or the path that's not according to the way of God. You see this? So I have to understand, if I'm not understanding this, I will continue to be a servant of sin. And a servant of sin eventually will not remain. Eventually, it will pull me away from the kingdom of God or the house of God. So notice he said, and the servant of sin abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. So if I abide in Christ, I will abide forever. It doesn't matter how bad it hurts you that God has to take some stuff out of you and I that's not like him. It doesn't matter, because guess what? He's perfecting you and I. The world may ridicule you. The world may laugh that you're not caving or giving in to the pressure. And it doesn't matter what pressure the world's trying to put on us, trying to make you go against your own choices and your own desire. That's the enemy. He pressures us to do something contrary to our convictions and our will. But God would never pressure you and I. He simply lays out what needs to be done, and I must follow that which he requires. If I don't, it's a detriment to my own life and living. Okay? Verse 36. Notice here, if the Son, we're in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free. Now notice there's an if. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, in reality. See, many of us as Christians like, or professing Christian, and I say Christian, I'm talking about those that's professing it, but they just may be religious and want an outward show. Okay. He said that the Jews, they wanted a form of godliness, but because they denied the power. But the power of the Son of God, he comes to make us free. It's not in us just to be dormant. It's not in us for us to command him to give us what we want. It's there to make us free from the very thing that places us in bondage in this world system. See? And so if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's a freedom which the world cannot give, and in fact doesn't give. See, the world today, is the world system, is taking away rights. Our constitutional rights are slowly being taken away. They're gone pretty much. But there is a freedom in Christ. The Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. See, the God of this world system blinds the mind, makes us think we got freedom, but then you try to force and mandate something on us. That's not freedom. That's not freedom. But if the Son therefore shall make you free, guess what? You will be free. You're not afraid of the taunts of the enemy. You're not afraid of the hand of the enemy. Okay? Because we find comfort in Christ. Now, excuse me. Now notice in verse 37. Look at Christ's response. These people said they were not in bondage, but they were in some kind of bondage, because look at verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed. They were claiming to be religious because of their physical birth. There is no salvation in in being the seed of Abraham. See, that didn't bring salvation. Salvation comes only through what Christ did at Calvary. They were dependent upon their birth, their physical birth into Abraham's lineage. They were the seed of Abraham. And some of us think because we gave our lives to Christ and we become a member of something or an organization, that means that I'm good to go. No, that the church is not the door of salvation. Christ is. You see this? The Catholic Church is not the door of salvation. The Baptist Church is not. The non-denominational church is not. The Methodist, it doesn't matter. It's not. Christ is. Now, you may be in a church, a building, but you are the church. See? We've gotten this so confused. We get caught up in the building and the organization, but Christ, God cannot be contained in a building. He's in your heart. Now, notice this. Christ says, I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Okay. So now you're saying you're a Christian, but look at your actions. See this? This completely negated their spiritual claims. Now, notice why they sought to kill him. Because my word has no place in you. This is the problem with us as people that say we believe in God. We will not let the word of God find a place in us. This is why we're walking in fear and cowering to the God of this world system, Satan, and giving in to his demands. Instead of being like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the ruler of that nation during that time created an image and demanded or mandated that they bow to it. They said, O king, we thank you that we are given these great positions in your kingdom, but we cannot bow to your image. And how many of us are bowing to the image or the image of this world system, the God of this world system through his mandates, through his laws? See this? He said, I know you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Why? Because my word has no place in you. If God's word has a place in your heart and life and you are growing, you will be able to stand up to the enemy, the God of this world system. You don't look at, you'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whereas they were threatened to be thrown in a fire. And they love God even to the death, even if they would have to die, because their faith was in the fact that if God allowed them to go into a fiery furnace, he would be with them. And if he delivered him, they said, so, oh, it is well. And if he should cause them to perish, it would be well with their soul. Either way, their heart was content with their Lord and their Savior and their love for him. You see what I'm saying? This is how we are to be. If the word of God has place in our heart, if we love him, we will allow him to penetrate our heart and those things in our lives that's contrary to his way. And when we allow him to do that, then we'll be able to stand in the midst of this crooked and perverse world and not cave to the enemy. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So let's jump back over. And I notice he says, you seek to kill me. This is not what a believing, professing, believing, growing Christian would do. This is what happens when a believer is under bondage to sin and they refuse to be changed by the Spirit of God. Now let's go back, and I'm going to have to close shortly. Excuse me. We got a few minutes. So let's go back here. We were in 1 John chapter 4. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 5. And we were right at verse 4. And this is what I want us to see. So it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, remember, we just saw those Jews in John 8 said they believe, but their actions was that they wanted to kill the Messiah. Not that kind of belief. We're not talking about that type of belief. We're talking about a belief that will bring about a change. And this belief first starts with your object of faith being in the right place, the cross of Christ. If your faith is in the right object, the cross, then he says, if you continue in my word, you and I have to continue by faith. And when the Spirit of God or the Word of God reveal things in our heart and life where we're not trusting or putting our faith in the cross, then we have to submit and obey and surrender. Don't be like those Jews in John 8 that said they weren't sinners, that they were never in bondage. No, you have to let God correct the area of our lives that we are in bondage to. And when we allow God to free us there, he says, on to the next. And you'll notice you'll be able, whatever the obstacle, whatever the trial, whatever the giant you may face, you'll be able to face it because you walk in obedience to his way. You'll be able to face it because you know and you love the ways of God. And even though it's contrary to your natural man, you trust him. So it says, for whatever is born of God, we're in 1 John 5, verse 4, overcomes the world. You see this? We are called to overcome this world system. We're not placed in this world to become a part of it. This is why I don't understand all our, we see a lot of us looking to Hollywood and looking to many of the people in the music industry, even in the gospel music industry. You know, these people are set up to cause us to stay in a lustful state. They're keeping us where we just desiring the things of the world system. Now, if you go to 1 John, this will probably be our last one. 1 John chapter 2, it says in verse 15, love not the world. Now, we read in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 that Satan is the god of the world system. He's the god of this world. So love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So the world spoken of here by John pertains to the ordered system of which Satan is the head. Satan is the head of this world system. So everything about the world system, he controls. The platform that has that reaches the masses, whether it's the TV, the radio, Hollywood, whatever reaches the masses, he controls. There is truth, but you and I, and we just read it, God will lead us into truth, but it's not going to be what's presented right before us. Okay? It's not going to be the obvious things. So you and I have to learn. This is what the Spirit of God has to do in our life. He has to teach us not to love the world. Now, a lot of people may think, well, I don't smoke, drink, curse. I'm good to go. That is more to the world than that. Okay? It's not time. We're sinners, not because of the things we do, but because we were born with a bent towards wrongdoing. So even as a believer, you and I have to, this is why the cross is necessary. Our passions, our lusts have to be nailed daily. And Satan doesn't come to you with stuff that's just so obviously wrong that we recognize as wrong. He's going to come in a deceptive way because he knows each of our lusts, each of our desires. So this is why we must cling to the cross evermore and not yield to his temptation. Okay. So he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See that? You have many professing Christians that's after money, fame, fortune. I want all the latest and greatest so I can shine. And notice this, for all that is in the world, there's nothing in the system of this world that is of God. The lust of the flesh, these are evil cravings. See this? The lust of the eyes, you crave what you see. How many of us we see things, we look at Adam and Eve. She saw the fruit. She craved it. Why? Because she wanted to be wise and like God. That's the pride of life. How many of us, we crave or want and desire these things because it makes us look great and grand in the eyes of whomever or whatever. See this? Oh, if I can have the best, the greatest car, that'll prove that I'm successful. If I can have the greatest home or the greatest job, it'll prove that I made it to the world. This is nothing wrong with, understand, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It goes back to your motives. It goes back to your desire. And Satan knows that if there is a lust, there is a desire. Eve desired to be wise and like God. She craved, that was an evil craving. Lucifer desired to exalt his throne above God Almighty. It was a craving. It was an evil craving. And he craved it. He lusted after it because he saw what God had and he wants worship. Okay? He wants worship. So his evil cravings kicked him, got him kicked out of heaven, corrupted his nature. And now he strives with God's creation, the seed of the woman, to keep this pride of life. He tries to get all men to worship him. He even tried to get Christ to bow and worship him. And you can read that in Luke chapter 4. The great temptation he brought Christ's way was for Christ to worship him. He said, I can give you all the things of the world. That proves to us that he was the God of the world system. And he was offering it to Christ in his humanity. Understand this. Christ was and is God. He never lost possession of his deity. But he laid it aside to express himself as a man. Why? Because he came as the last Adam. Because the first Adam fell. Therefore, he came to show us the way. Adam was tempted in a state of innocence, where he did not have a sinful nature. Christ was tempted in a state of perfection and purity where he did not have a sinful nature. And they both had the greatest temptations because Christ could have used his powers as God. That was his temptation. See, Satan was tempting him to use his powers as God. And had he called down angels to destroy us or use his powers as God, we would not be redeemed. It would have disqualified us from being redeemed. You see this? Christ showed us the way. There is a way. He relied fully upon the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead that resides in you and I. That's the Spirit he relied upon. He laid aside the expression of his deity. He did not express himself as God. He expressed himself as a man, fully dependent upon the Holy Spirit that's in you and I. So if he did it, he showed us the way, we can do it. He did all the work. We just simply have to come to God believing in what he's done. And if I believe in what he's done, God gives the Spirit of God the latitude to work in me to give me the power to overcome this world system. Now, I'm going to read this last verse and we'll close. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away. All this will pass away. Christ will eventually, in the millennial reign, set his kingdom here on earth. The government shall be upon his shoulder. See this? And when the government is upon his shoulder, he will rule for 1,000 years, whether those that want to submit to his authority and those who don't. See this? We think we have all these crooked politicians and leaders in our nations now. When Christ comes, he will rule from Jerusalem. And his kingdom will expand all over the world. The world passes away and the lust thereof. Whatever the allurements of the world, they will soon fade. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The one who keeps on habitually doing the will of God. These are the ones that will abide forever. You see this? This is very important. And we must be about our Father's business. We must understand that God has given us a power source to overcome this world system. He's given us we have to be born of him. And that was back in 1 John 5, our original scripture. And you can read that in your on your own time. But he said that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. God placed you here to overcome this world, not to become a part of this world system. And that's one of the things I want to leave with you on today. He's placed you and I here to overcome it. You see, we're placed in this world not to fear or cower to the world, but to overcome it. We are placed here to be overcomers. And the word overcome in the Greek, and I like to give you the meaning, it means to conquer, to carry off the victory, to come off victorious. See this? It means to be victorious. And if you look at the spirit that's in this world today, it's trying to make us all think we're victims. It's trying to make us all think that we are victims. We're victims, and the world has a solution to our problems. See, this is why race is being brought up again as an issue. This is why they're bringing up all these different things, the police stuff and all these things. And the world has a solution. The coronavirus, we're all victims, and the world has a solution. But their solution is not what will fix our problem. The solution is found in Christ. And he promises to give you truth to make you and I free from the bondage of deception that this God of the world system has blinded our minds to. He wants to free us from it. He wants to show us the reality, the truth about things that's happening in this nation and around the world so that you and I can make sound decisions. The Bible says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But fear torments. Fear calls you to react and respond and do things contrary to truth. Okay? You got to see that. That's the spirit that's in this world. And next time we come back, we'll hit on the spirit of this world. In 1 John 2, it talks about the spirit of this world, which is the spirit of Antichrist. And so on that note, I'm going to close, but I do thank each of you for tuning in on this morning. Thank you for taking the time to listen. And I pray that I've said some things that will strengthen you in your walk. And if you have questions or comments, you can put them in the chat box if you can see that, or you can message us on our Facebook page, Understanding God's Word Ministry. It's on Facebook, or you can find us on the website, which is understandinggodsword.com. And that's the word understanding God's with an S on the end of it. Word, godsword.com. And feel free to reach out, and we'll be more than happy to take your questions or comments. But again, thank you for tuning in. My voice is a little scratchy this morning. I ask you to forgive me, but I do thank you for tuning in today. So until next time, we'll be back, and I'll let you guys know. We'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you, and be blessed.